here we can't hear Dr. Oke.
Okay, so good morning, everybody.
Good morning, sir.
I want to appreciate our regional coordinator, Dr. Ruben, for the great work he's been doing. I want to appreciate the leadership of the NTDC for this great consultation, and to all leaders, God is taking us somewhere definite. We'll get there in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So my topic for this devotion is transformational discipleship and money. And I want to start with one or two stories of proper depiction of where I think we are going to. The first one is an experience about 12 years ago of a project that I did in Gambia. And in that program, we are doing a vocational training for young adults. And there was this barrow pusher in the marketplace that one of our workers engaged and convinced him to forgo his barrow pushing for that day and come for the vocational training. And the young man agreed, left his barrow and came for vocational training. He learned a few things, how to make soap, how to make pomade, and some of those things. But beyond that, he listened to a transformational, life-changing message on how his life cannot just be what it is or what it was at that point. And that influenced him a lot. You know, and after that program, nobody knew what was happening with him from us here in Nigeria. But apart from being a member of the church and passing through discipleship in the church, we discovered 10 years later, when we went back to Gambia for a follow-up program, that a young man had submitted himself to development to the point that he had gone to school and had become a graduate. He had opened the biggest transformational college in Gambia on a land that he bought for himself. He had developed to the point of financial freedom. In fact, when we arrived, he announced that he wanted to co-host the program as in financing the program that we came for. And he carried us around with his vehicles. And I mean, the change was dramatic. And his pastor confirmed that it's not just about getting rich. He has also been properly discipled and was a very, very deep Christian. And I was really, really encouraged that a life could be changed from where we met him 12 years ago to where we saw him 10 years after. You know, a proper deep Christian, working hard for the church community, financially free, and doing his best to help other young people to come up. That is transformation. I have this other experience that happened in Liberia of another young lady. We met her as a nobody at the point when we met her about 12 years ago. And she asked to be mentored. And I directed her to my wife and to the church pastor in Liberia. And so much work happened in her life to the point that by this year, one of my partners in the USA wanted to do a project in Liberia. And I called this young lady to see how she could help, only to realize that she was not only properly positioned to help, she was working very close to the presidency and getting the attention of the president and the minister of religious programs, you know, close to the church in Liberia. So this young lady facilitated the smooth entrance of my partner into Liberia through the presidential wing of the airport. They got a hall for her. They gathered Liberian women for her because she wanted to speak to Liberian women. And everything went smoothly. Facilitated by a young lady that was a nobody 12 years ago, but by now has not only become a deep Christian, but has become somebody of influence in the whole country that she could make things happen. That's another story of human development, not only spiritually, but materially, physically, and all round. This is what transformational discipleship seeks to achieve. So what is transformational discipleship? Discipleship in the Christian sense is the process of making someone to become like Christ. While other types of discipleship work aim at providing information to the disciple that can change his or her behavior, transformational discipleship focuses on changing his or her identity and character. In explaining transformational discipleship, Eric Geiger, who is a blog writer on this subject, said, many churches equate discipleship with knowledge. But the essence of discipleship is transformational and not informational. Jesus did not merely ask us to teach everything he commanded. He asked us to teach people to obey everything he commanded. And the difference is massive. The end result of discipleship is not merely the knowledge of all that Jesus commanded, but the obedience to all that Jesus commanded. And we must take note of that differently. Now, I want to engage us in a few scriptures, some of which we use as text in this devotion. First of all, in Mark chapter 1, verse 17, Mark 1, 17, Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. I will make you to become. So Jesus is talking about taking you from where you are and changing you into a different person entirely. Then in the engagement of Jesus with the Samaritan woman in the book of John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So this is not just external modification. This is life transformation. Somebody can change his behavior while still treasuring his old character. This is the problem of today's church, where some of the people are changing, but the depth of that change is shallow. In the world, they say every man has a price. This saying is true of those who have modified their behaviors, but have not changed their identity or their character. That it is from there that we get all the surprises we get when trusted disciples just suddenly bring forth a behavior or a character that we thought had been lost before. I remember the case of two leaders almost fighting in church. They did a business deal and the business failed. So the person that brought the money insisted on collecting back his money. And the person that ran the business insisted that it's a loss and both of them must share it. And the kind of words that people were hearing in church was like, you don't know me, oh. Don't forget about this church matter. If you don't give me my money, I will deal with you. And the other one said, forget about this Bible I'm carrying. You don't know who I really am. If you try to mess up, I will deal with you. Two church leaders, one said, forget about church. The other one said, forget about Bible. And they were like bringing forth their true character. These are people who have been in church for upwards of 20 years. But because of a loss of money, their true character showed up. This is the problem with today's church, where there is a true character deep down behind the shield, and it will show up when occasion calls for it. So in people's lives, we have behavior, which is on the outside. We have character, which is in the middle inside. And then we have identity, which is deep in the core of every person. So your identity affects your character. But sometimes what you hear and the model you have been put through can affect your behavior. Sometimes we take this change of behavior as a proper change, but it's not. Until change affects somebody's identity, the real character of that person cannot change. And then, mark my word, only the Holy Spirit can change or transform somebody's identity. Teaching alone may achieve behavioral change, but transformation is the work of the Spirit of God. Therefore, let's take note that transformational discipleship cannot happen without the direct impact of the Spirit of God upon both the discipler and the discipled. And then another scripture in Philippians chapter 2. Okay. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. This points to a change in belief system and in character. Becoming the kind of person who will not want to do certain negative things that were in control of that life before. Not a case of a mindset change. I won't do this again. Not a change of willpower. I will struggle not to do this again. But a change in the identity so that you become somebody who cannot do such a thing anymore. That is transformational discipleship. Now, how does transformational discipleship happen? How does it happen? I want to use the model of the Jeremiah 17:8-3 to explain how TD happens. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 8. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Is it disturbing me? Now, I want to bring out four issues from this scripture that will help us understand how transformational discipleship happens. The first thing we see there,
yes, please,
is intentionality. We see this tree that is deliberately planted in that conducive environment. Consider the old paradigm of discipleship, where the disciples sit at the feet of the master. We may not avoid this environment much more if we want to achieve transformational discipleship. I'm looking at a situation where every leader is having 3, 4, 7, 12 people that you are working on at each point in time. These disciples stay with you, eat with you, play with you, walk with you, go with you. It's a model that takes everyone's time, both discipler and disciple. Myself and my wife started such a model that we call Missions Mentoring Club. It's a discipleship model for young people. Where we have times when they will move into our house and stay with us for some time. So at those times when they will move into the house, we stay together, eat together, play together, walk together, go for evangelism and other works together. We do things together and they see much more than what they hear. It has been proved that what the disciple What the disciple, what the mentee sees is more powerful than just what he hears you saying. And this is the model that many of us ought to go back to. Not just the issue of Sunday school and the midweek disciple class that just takes us 1 hour, 1.5 hours, and we go away for another 1 week. What will work requires time together. What will work is not just a church program, but a program of church leaders. Everyone church leader having a discipleship team for himself. And everyone church leader being able to motivate other church leaders around him and motivate even his or her own disciples to take on their own groups also as they are growing under you. And that way, a lot can be achieved towards transformational discipleship. It involves much more of demonstration, much more than teaching and talking. And it requires much more time together, like I've said. The second thing we see in that Jeremiah 17:8 model of the tree planted by the waterside is what I call right environment and proper content. For a plant, water is the right environment and the proper content. The church cannot achieve this with the plethora of undiscipled leaders on parade today. Leaders who beat up their spouses or quarrel with and curse their church members cannot become agents of transformation. Leaders who steal church money or take undue advantages of their position cannot become agents of transformation. One cannot give what one does not have. So I can see such leaders who are undiscipled today becoming willing to surrender themselves to proper agents of transformational discipleship in order to move the work of God in their own lives forward. The work of God in our own lives must be moved forward before we can become proper agents in his hands of transformation. Then the third paradigm we can see from Jeremiah 17:8 is the issue of the cooperation of the mentee, the cooperation of the discipled. In that scripture, we see that it is the plant that sends out its roots to the water. Mentees must be willing to pay the price. A disciple that is too busy to be discipled is not a candidate at all. You must not waste your time with people who are too busy to be influenced by you. Lack of focus, jumping from one place to the other, are things that will ensure that transformational discipleship does not happen in a life. So in getting involved in transformational discipleship, make sure you have the right candidates. Make sure you have people who are willing and who can make the time to sit at the feet of the master. And then the fourth paradigm in that scripture is the fruitful outcome. The fruitful outcome. We see that that plant does not fear the season of heat, does not fear the season of drought. Why? It is located in the right place. That scripture says the leaves are always green. It bears fruit both in dry and rainy seasons. The result is that you produce people that can take the battle to the gates of the enemy. This can only be achieved when the Holy Spirit is allowed to have his place, both in the discipler and in the disciple. In those early days of our salvation, immediately somebody repented, we ministered the Holy Ghost baptism on that person immediately. This is no more so. Believers carry on in church for years without Holy Spirit infilling, and this is not complimentary. Disciples should give attention to much more of praying in tongues than we are doing today. I have the testimony of one disciple in Akure, a professor, and he told me that himself and his disciples meet every Tuesday to stay together throughout the day, and they begin their meeting with praying 10 hours in tongues before any other thing is done. And the people are being affected seriously, deeply, being influenced. As I begin to round off, let me move over to the issue of MANI, the Movement for African National Initiatives. MANI is a network focused on catalyzing African national initiatives and mobilizing the resources of the body of Christ in Africa for the fulfillment of the Great Commission. A national initiative is a homegrown strategy adopted by many as a means of fulfilling the Great Commission and finishing the task in that nation. MANI's purpose is to motivate and mobilize Christian leaders to reach the unreached and the least evangelized in Africa and in the wider global community. While many church movements insist on confirming field viability before they do church planting, MANI is insisting on completing the task. And this is what brings us face to face with the issue of reaching the unreached. Most church organizations today are not worrying about the unreached because they have to make sure that the field they want to enter is viable. And unreached locations are simply not viable. Sometimes you have to spend years in such a place before you win one soul. Not to talk about the risk of the insecurity in those places. So somebody may ask, how does this connect to the issue of transformational discipleship? I will answer that. We all know that in recent times, finding missionaries who will sacrificially undertake the work of missions has become an uphill task. Now, place this in the face of the recent dangers and insecurity situation of most unreached locations, and you will find that the church seems to be fighting a lost battle. Thank God it will not be lost in Jesus' name. The only solution to this quagmire, the only solution to this dilemma, is for the church to mass produce disciples who are ready to die than to flee the battlefield when Jesus has not commanded them so. I have an example of a missionary I have in Sierra Leone during the time of Ebola. At a time when all foreigners had moved out of Sierra Leone because of Ebola, I called this missionary on phone. I told him, it's time to come home with your family. And the missionary told me, sir, I cannot leave my flock and start coming back to Nigeria. I was touched. I told him to, okay, send back your wife and children. You can stay there alone. He said I should talk to his wife about that. I spoke to the wife. Please, I will send you flight tickets. You and your children should come home. Your husband said he's not coming. And the woman said, sir, we cannot leave our flock. We're going to stay with them. And by the grace of God, Ebola will not touch any of us. That was how this Nigerian family stayed throughout the Ebola season in Sierra Leone. And the way God honored their faith, nobody, not even one person, died in that church of Ebola. Even when relations were dying and people, neighbors were dying all over the place. I have another missionary, this time around in Nigeria, in Maiduguri, the center of Boko Haram pogrom against Christianity and Christian missionaries. This missionary is not a northerner, he's a southerner. But when missionaries exited from Northeast, he refused to go. He said that the Holy Ghost had not told him to leave. Now, his family called him, okay, send us back your wife and children. Those ones refused to go. From the time Boko Haram started in Nigeria till today, that family is still in Maiduguri doing their missionary work. God is keeping them. God is protecting them. But one important thing to note in what he said is that the Holy Spirit has not told him to leave. If we give birth to missionaries who can be one-on-one with the Holy Spirit, we will find people who can look danger in the face and decide what to do because They are being guided. They are being led by the Spirit. The more of such men and women the church can produce is the greater chance we have to fulfill our mandate. And the way forward is transformational discipleship. So what money has done and what money is doing is to make enough noise about the need for transformational discipleship in order to ensure that this great need of the hour is put on the front burner of what today's African church must be doing. In conclusion, therefore, what is God saying to the church in Africa today? Number one, as the dangers increase and multiply all around us, with the proliferation of Muslim fundamentalists who are thirsty for the blood of Christian missionaries, God's mandate for the church is not about to change. God still says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Islam has advanced today because they found how to make men and women who are not afraid of dying for their God. Same thing God is asking for from the church. To make men and women who cannot be conquered by money, who cannot be conquered by fame, who cannot be conquered by sex. Men and women who would rather die at their post than disappoint Jesus, the Master. How will such men be made? Transformational discipleship is the answer. So we are praying for those leaders in Africa who have this understanding, who have something to offer, to immediately embrace transformational discipleship. And like I said, form your teams, 3, 5, 7, 10, 12. Make time to stay with them. Let them stay with you. It's not convenient, it is not cheap, it is not easy, it is very tasking, but that's the way forward. Make time for your disciples and pick only disciples who can make time for the purpose. Teach the right content. Teach the people sacrifice. Teach the people the word, because the word works wonders in lives. Teach them how to encounter God, how to make space for the Holy Spirit to be in charge of their lives. Teach them that the word G-O does not mean general overseer, it means go. And that for us to finish our task, we must go, no matter who you are, no matter your age, no matter your position. By the time we must produce people who are both doing this task and encouraging others to do it like money is doing, then the world will know that Jesus left some people behind in this century. May God help us to fulfill our task. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. 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 May the Lord help us to fulfill.